Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know him and grow up in him and be ready for his appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Overcoming Ignorance." Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, verses 22 to 25. This is Romans chapter 11. I'm reading verse 22. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which failed severity, but towards thee goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." Verse 23, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Verse 24, "For if thou were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?" Verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." The word ignorant in Strong's is number 50. It comes from other words which means not to know, through lack of information or intelligence, by implication to ignore, through disinclination. To be ignorant or ignorantly, not to know, not to understand or unknown. Paul wrote a long letter and did not want the church in Rome to be ignorant of why God was using them. Those that continue in his goodness walk in the light they have been given. They are never ignorant because through conviction and correction, they repent deeply and grow spiritually. You will always see dimly, so his daily instructions are the essentials of walking with God. Those confident in the flesh, their own actions and abilities, are choosing ignorance. What you repent of now will give you eyes and ears to hear what you need to know next. Because of the goodness of God, you get time to repent too. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 19 to 23. This is Matthew chapter 7. I'm reading verse 19. "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Verse 20. "Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them." Verse 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Verse 23. "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The fruit of the Spirit, following Christ on the narrow way, is a sign of maturity, not the gifts of the Spirit. You cannot grow spiritually by just doing the work of the ministry. God can do a miracle through a donkey. In the last generation, those making excuse for sin in their personal lives will be used by the devil to deceive those also looking for a shortcut to the Spirit-led life through vain ministry. Those seeking vainglory and calling Jesus Lord based on ministry achievements get easily offended when convicted. Obedience to His Spirit is required in all areas. Just feeling His anointing in well-attending meetings by exalting the name of Jesus is not pleasing God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reading verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. If you are still sinning in areas where you have been convicted before, you are following a way that seems right. There is grace and truth to stop sinning. Sin is unrighteousness. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, in purpose, or action. Those with a confidence in the flesh need a preacher of righteousness to wake them up. Paul wanted the Jews to come to repentance before time ran out, but they continued to resist the truth and walked in the darkness of their own minds instead. Those that do wake up today and still use their minds to make decisions fall asleep again. They will miss the appearing of the Lord if they do not wake up to righteousness. David wrote in Psalms 16 and verse 11. I'm reading you the Psalms chapter 16, and this is verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David relied on the fullness of joy in his heart to make sure he was still on the path that leads to life. Those who live in his presence have to hear, trust, and obey him consistently with the right motive and attitude. They find a joy of pleasing God in complicated situations by faith. Those who lose the joy of their salvation through a little bit of trouble under a small amount of pressure are not on the path that leads to life. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God does not condemn us, but he has given us everything we need to repent and overcome sin with grace and truth and save ourselves. The Jews were blessed with conviction through the law and were given grace to overcome sin by humbling themselves in sackcloth and ashes. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. This is Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God does not tell you to work harder, but to work out your salvation by submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth will expose those lies in your heart, hindering your spiritual growth, that you chose to believe for the sake of your flesh. Anything that does not bring pleasure to God is not Christ-like. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 16. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Those who believe in his goodness get on the narrow way. Carnal believers never get on the narrow way because they are more concerned about their temporal carnal lives and what others think about them. Conservative churches teach that by confessing yourself, you're already righteous. Issues making you angry and frustrated, however, are thorns and thistles, rooted in unrighteousness. Bear fruit should help you recognize areas that need repentance immediately, so you can save your soul. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm reading verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorantly and in unbelief. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Paul described himself as the chief of sinners because he blasphemed Christ on earth and rejected John the Baptist. However, he was not ignorant anymore and growing rapidly. He got a taste for obedience to the Spirit by responding to the conviction he experienced and could discern everything by the Spirit. God is no respecter of persons. Those who repent deeply become more responsive to God in all areas. Paul was counted worthy because he had fruits of repentance and was coming to the truth rapidly. We read in Acts chapter 9, verses 20 to 25. This is Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues and that he is the Son of God. Verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which had dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Verse 24. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Confronted by the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus for leading the persecution, Paul humbled himself and used the grace to repent and seek a clear conscience. Proving that Jesus is the Son of God, he became an enemy of the religious Jews. He got even more grace than to hear God how to escape the traps they set for him consistently because he was seeking God's perfect will for his own life. James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 18. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Do not let rare opportunities in complicated situations through conviction slip away by accepting an easy option for the flesh. You can become one of the fastest growing, fruit-bearing believers today through deep repentance. Even when others cannot repent, you can, with grace and truth, because you are a new creation. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 21 to 24. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. For if any of you be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. The word naughtiness in Strong's is number 2549. It comes from another word which means badness, that is subjectively depravity, or actively malignity, or passively trouble, evil, malice, or maliciousness, naughtiness, wickedness. The converted Jews had the engrafted words of Jesus brought to them through Peter on the day of Pentecost. to prove they were ignorant. To stay engrafted, they had to be a consistent hearer and doer of the word. Words of conviction you receive through your relationship with God on the narrow way after salvation are necessary for you to continue in his goodness. Without a clear conscience, regular conviction and correction, you will not complete your calling. The new converts saw how the Gentiles were serving the devil in other countries and started thinking too much. They became filthy themselves and compromised. Work on your ability to hear, trust, and obey under pressure, or you will be in danger of listening to a wrong voice. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Romans 11:22 says, "Then note and appreciate the gracious kindness and severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's gracious kindness to you, provided you continue in his grace and abide in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off or pruned away." The wicked and lazy Jews had the ministry of reconciliation through the law, but were unwilling to pass on experiences of God's goodness that came through personal conviction and repentance. The Jews should have been there to help others seeking God's goodness with testimonies of their own. They had to be removed eventually as they offered dead works instead, hindering those who wanted to confess and repent. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 22, verses 20 to 22. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. I'm starting in verse 20. "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Verse 21, "But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table." Verse 22, "And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." With the new covenant, there is always a way back for the most evil offender who believes. Judas Iscariot did not believe and perished. Under the old covenant, the wrath of God should have come down on the Jews immediately after they killed the Son of God. However, Jesus is Lord and established the new covenant before the cross, so the Jews got a period of grace to repent before the Romans destroyed the city in AD 70. Paul was speaking in Acts chapter 13, verses 36 to 38. This is Acts chapter 13. I'm reading verse 36. "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption." Verse 37, "But he whom God raised again saw no corruption." Verse 38, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." The religious Jews did not believe. They were ignorant. They were unwilling to humble themselves, confess their ignorance, and receive grace to repent after crucifying their own Messiah. Everyone resisting conviction and going back to their old ways so they can do what they want when they want is choosing ignorance. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I'm reading 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Verse 10. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." If you've lost the joy of the Lord and his peace, you have sinned. God's spirit in your heart does not tell lies when you are convicted. There is forgiveness of sins in his name. If you believe, you will confess your sins and use your mistakes as stepping stones to help others struggling with the same issues when you have repented deeply yourself. Nations that will obey the Spirit and learn through conviction can enter the kingdom of heaven now. The world is passing away to help you make the right decision before time runs out. We read in John chapter 1, verses 10 to 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The earth was made by Jesus for man to enjoy. The world is ignorant, so he is coming back to show us how to enjoy his creation, as he intended, with the devil locked up for 1,000 years. Jesus will prove that man destroyed what God created through selfishness. Man was designed to obey God as a vessel of honor with God's provision, resist the devil, and rule without the need to be selfish. Christ got everything he needed to overcome evil, sin, and the cross through his communication with his Father. Those that adhere to the teaching of Jesus and live by faith receive the power of the Holy Spirit so they can live a godly life and be part of his kingdom forever through obedience to the Spirit. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I ring verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we've received mercy, we faint not. Verse 2, but have renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The devil can blind your mind, but he cannot harden your hearts to the conviction of the Spirit. You have to do that yourself through serving the lust of the flesh. Paul saw those perishing around him, following ways that seemed right. His message, however, was reaching the right people through obedience to the Spirit. Those with the ministry of reconciliation do not faint because of God's mercy and see conviction as a blessing to finish their race. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. This is Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word of Christ should be dwelling in you richly after salvation. What Christ speaks to you personally through the written word by the Spirit will produce the greatest amount of spiritual growth in your life. No one is perfect until they're like Christ. Use the sin lifts to record areas that need to change. Purge yourself through repentance, and you'll be able to help others with psalms, hymns, and songs full of grace and truth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25, I'm reading to verse 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Your mind belongs to God and should not have thoughts other than what God is putting there by grace for you to live by faith and not by sight. If you do have other thoughts appearing, you are still seeking your own will. Only those holding on to anything other than Christ in this life will resist conviction as this world passes away. The same sins separating you from his presence is evidence you were not seeking righteousness in his kingdom. There's a saying, the ounce of prevention is better than the pound of cure. Those on the narrow way with grace and truth obtain the wisdom of God by asking God everything. Now all those seeking righteousness and his kingdom can ask God any question and get an answer immediately by grace through faith. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 5 to 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Paul only had an earnest or small amount of the kingdom, but it was enough to function on earth as God intended. He was already using his communication to such an extent he could discern everything with his eyes shut. If the Lord had taken him, he would have only noted a difference in his surroundings because everything else was the same. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Those unwilling to stop using their minds to make decisions and let Jesus be Lord in all areas do not believe the kingdom is here now. Jesus is ruling by the Spirit since the day of Pentecost for those who believe. If you complain about corruption and injustice in this world and do not become part of God's kingdom, you have a confidence in the flesh. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. This is Luke chapter 9. I'm reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Those learning to hear his voice daily under slightly more pressure or in new areas are ready for what's coming next. Make no excuse for sin if you do not want to become a castaway. Those that resist conviction and correction become ashamed or embarrassed about the clear and simple teachings of Jesus over a period of time. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm reading verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The God of this world goes around feeding hidden desires in his people, separated from God through sin, serving fear for the sake of their flesh, and not denying themselves consistently. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 22. This is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Separated from God, you can become ignorant again by leaning to your understanding. Your understanding will be darkened through listening to the flesh. Love truth, even when you are being corrected. You should not be asking God for blessings, but his rightly revealed word of truth in complicated situations, so that you learn Christ and how he responded in a trial under pressure. What God directs appears strange to those drifting away from the truth. There is no higher court that will ever decide the Spirit of God is wrong in a complicated situation. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A comfortable life where you are hearing God just for earthly gain is not God's best, and you'll be sorry. Luke 6 and verse 25. God is giving you an opportunity to have a spiritual mind, so don't mess it up. The wisdom of God is very different to the wisdom of this world. His wisdom cannot be gained by academic study, but by the renewing of your mind on the narrow way, where you do nothing to save yourself or rescue yourself without his authorization. The best you can have in God's kingdom is the mind of Christ. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, that he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word judgeth in Strong's is number 350, and it comes from some other words which means properly to scrutinize, that is, by implication, to investigate, interrogate, determine, ask, question, discern, examine, judge, or search. There are eternal consequences for questioning God's wisdom or trying to understand the things of God with your mind. Trials that God has planned in this life are good for you. The world expects you to solve problems with earthly wisdom. Not consulting your own will or making decisions with your mind appears foolish. However, the Father can see the end from the beginning. And if you're a mature child of God, you will see the devil coming from any direction. The spiritually mature can examine and analyze all things with their eyes shut. They do not make judgments about people or governments or listen to conspiracy theories. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, this is Matthew's gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 1, judge not, that ye be not judged. Verse 2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Making judgments from the natural realm is a fruit of ignorance. Extending grace to someone and receiving more grace as a result is God's way. You remain ignorant just because you wanted to make a judgment or complain about personal circumstances making your flesh uncomfortable. If you judge anyone else, then you are no longer spiritual, because judging is a sin, which will cut you off from God's grace and mercy as well. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30. This is John's gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus was given the ability to judge all things as God's representative on earth, because he emptied himself of his divine authority and power when he came to the earth. He submitted to the Father and only did what his Father revealed to him. He had no other agenda than God's perfect will. Jesus would have become blind through consulting his own will. If you start thinking what you would like to do in a complicated situation, then you do not have the mind of Christ. We read in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is John's gospel, chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus had no place to lay his head. Nicodemus found where Jesus was staying in Jerusalem eventually, but he could not see the kingdom or recognize who Jesus was. Bad eyesight doesn't occur in a day, but results from gradual misuse. Spiritual blindness comes from a confidence in the flesh and using natural discernment again and again to discern spiritual events without conviction. Jesus taught his disciples in the upper room. In John chapter 16, I'm reading verses 13 and 14. This is John's gospel. Chapter 16, I'm reading verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. If you're still making excuses for using your mind under pressure, do not blame anyone else for being spiritually blind. The worst habit everyone has to break after being separated from God is that of being lord of their own lives with their minds. Smoking damages your health, but making decisions with your mind is destroying your eternal inheritance with God every day. If God is your Heavenly Father, then why are you still using natural discernment? We read in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Jesus was preparing his disciples that were about to be scattered. The cross demonstrated both the wisdom and power of God through Christ. Those who learn to communicate with God now in complicated situations are investing in the future. Taking up your cross daily should not cause anyone's heart to be troubled. You will overcome ignorance through any challenge by obedience to the Spirit. What are you waiting for? There is grace to do what the Spirit says in complicated situations, but not to disobey. Everyone can now see and experience the Father by taking up their cross daily. Thomas did not believe in his heart that asking God everything was really necessary until he saw the risen Christ with the same physical body and holes in his hands and side to prove it. John 20, verse 28. Christianity is not just another religion based on saying the sinner's prayer, as that would be salvation by works. It is a relationship with God, serving him for all eternity. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 19 and verse 17. This is Luke chapter 19, I'm reading verse 17. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. You could be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years over many cities, if you remain faithful to truth and conviction now. Nothing else can prepare you for ruling over 10 cities, not even one city. Are you getting ready to serve? And if not, why not? God knows what you need to do now to prepare. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. For more information on true wisdom and knowledge, please read chapter 10, The Beginning of Wisdom and Knowledge, in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. As mere babes, Paul could not talk to the Corinthians about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He shared his weaknesses that made people laugh. But in his letters, he was tough. He did this in the hope that through conviction, they would wake up to righteousness and seek to know why and how Christ functioned rather than use their minds to come to the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 26 to 29. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You only have life within yourself, completing the work God has given you to do on this earth, like Jesus did. You were created in the image of God to do the will of God by grace. on the narrow way, you will get extra grace to hear his voice in all areas and abide in his presence. Those who use the pressure on the narrow way to hear the right voice, trust and obey, will also hear his voice when Jesus comes back for his bride. Those who miss the first resurrection in the grave effectively sleep in as they use the grace of God as an occasion to the flesh to do what they wanted when they were alive on earth, when they could have learned to hear God in all areas. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, this is in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Jesus came into this world full of grace and truth to save sinners, and he did this by submitting to the Father's plan. He had to hear from his Father to escape the plans of the Jews, fulfill the scriptures, and overcome the cross without ever sinning. You were supposed to help others repent by living in the light yourself. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, in your own words, explain what it means to be spiritually ignorant. Number two, in what way practically can you ensure the word of Christ is richly dwelling in you? Number three, give two examples of how you overcame ignorance in your life and how you did this with grace and truth. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good, and it's signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking about overcoming ignorance. God has the plan, and he is going to reveal that to you step by step. He loves you, and he wants you to know the truth. But it starts with you. It starts with the preparations in you. That is priority. Many people want knowledge. They don't want truth today. And this message is for those who have a heart after God, who want to live consistently in his presence and get to know him first. He doesn't want you to be ignorant of anything, especially the devil's devices. And today I hope that God has spoken to you through this message. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I thank you for the way that you have spoken very clearly through scriptures or whatever way you've spoken to those people listening right now. And I ask that you give them grace to not just be hearers of your word, but be doers also. In Jesus' precious name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.